And the first part of the reading is James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned.
And verses 13 to 20. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the ill person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Thank you, Yvonne and Isabel. Let's just pray as Helen comes to speak. Father, we ask for your blessing on Helen. Fill her with your spirit as she speaks, and fill each of us with your spirit as we listen. May we hear your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So we've come to the end of the series on James. We have heard that James is a very practical book of the Bible, with an emphasis on being doers of the word. It says, faith without works is dead. And yet there is a danger that we can start to think that doing good works is the most important thing, and so faith and the word leave the room. We know that we do not need to be Christians in order to do good. Many public-spirited people have found that as they give something back to society by volunteering, they find themselves fulfilled. The food bank in Colchester, for example, is not short of people offering to help. Volunteers are currently held on a 6-month waiting list. Another example is the case of a woman who kept visiting her doctor with depression and loneliness. Tired of giving her antidepressants, he told her to take herself down to the nearest charity shop and volunteer her services. She did so and never looked back. It is all good, but anything done in our own strength is temporary. So what is the difference? What difference do we as Christians bring to the lives of others? Well, I think firstly we carry the presence of God. In John 14, 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So we're not on our own. Jesus also said in John 14, 15 to 17, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." So when James tells us to be patient and stand firm in verse 7, or not to grumble against one another in verse 8, or be patient and persevere in the face of suffering in verse 10. It is because God has poured out his Spirit into our hearts and given us the supernatural ability to act in his love. And it is God's love that can then flow through us to bring peace and joy to the lives of others. Our network group is currently doing the Blessings course. In our last session, Roy Godwin told a story of a man who came to thank him for his book, The Way of Blessing, and said that it had changed his life. Roy asked him what he meant, and the man told him that both he and his wife were Christians, but that very often he would start the day by criticising her. He would then go on to work and criticise his bosses to his colleagues. He would go to church and criticise the leadership to the members. He had often needed to change jobs and leave churches. He said that after reading the book, he made the choice to change. He developed a God consciousness. He would compliment his wife in the morning. That did concern her a little bit at first, Roy said. He would go to work and speak well of his bosses, managing difficult situations. He would support the church leadership encouragingly. And when he was walking down the street, he would speak words of blessing over people in his heart as he walked by them. He became a blessing to others by choosing to allow God to work through him in God's way, and it was certainly a supernatural change. His whole lifestyle had become a way of powerful prayer. So when considering what difference do we as Christians bring to the lives of others, we firstly carry the presence of God. And secondly, we have the supernatural power of God working in and through our lives. James in verse 16 encourages us to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. This helps us draw near to God, as we heard last week. He says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And although we don't necessarily think it, if we have received Jesus into our hearts by faith, then we are a righteous person, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. James is then very matter-of-fact in stating how Christians should deal with life. In verse 13, he says, "Is anyone in trouble? Well, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Well, let them sing songs of praise." In verse 14, "Is anyone among you ill? Well, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven." I'm reminded then that our faith in prayer needs to be childlike and trusting. I was once standing in the lunch queue at New Wine, talking to the man in front of me, when his son came running up. The father asked him what he had been doing that morning in his children's group. The son replied, "We were praying for healing." The father said, "Oh, how did that go?" And his son replied, "Well, we were praying for my friend Sam because he had warts on his hands." His father said, "What happened?" And the son replied, very matter-of-factly, "Well, they all pinged off. What's for lunch?" A humble, childlike faith, expectation, and trust in Jesus in prayer. James, in the book of James, reminds us in verse 17 that Elijah was a human being just as we are, but his simple prayer of faith had powerful results. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says in Ephesians 1, 18 to 19, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." We have already seen in James 16 that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we have been called to an everlasting hope. In terms of works of faith, we have so much to offer a hurting world. Firstly, we carry the presence of God. Secondly, we have the supernatural power of God working in and through our lives. And thirdly, we can offer an everlasting hope. One of the evening sessions I attended at New Wine was held by Andy Baker, the associate minister at the Belfry, York. He said that hope is missing in our society. Brexit blues is now sadly a diagnosable condition. There has been a rise in anxiety. He said that hope is an attitude we choose. God is in every single situation, and we have to choose to be a people of hope. He said that God is bigger than our situation, and we have to choose to believe this and be communicators of this hope by our deeds and our words, not only to the church, but to the world. Just like the man Roy Godwin spoke of earlier, who made a choice to change his attitude of negativity. James speaks in verse 19 about the truth. Andy Baker said that when we speak truth, it is the language of heaven and angels draw in. But when we speak negativity, hatred, criticism, etc., it is the language of the enemy and opens the door to him. He then said that if we as Christians are filled with the love and hope of Christ, then why do so many of us walk around with faces like smacked bottoms? He said he has a saying, which he tells his church, which is this: if you are filled with the love and hope of Christ, tell your face. He said we must ask Jesus to fill us with joy so that we can spread hope. Jesus is the hope of the whole world. So as we draw to the end of the book of James, let us remind ourselves that in carrying out works of faith, we firstly carry the presence of God. Secondly, we have the supernatural power of God working in and through our lives. And thirdly, we can offer an everlasting hope. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." And of course, this will be unique for each one of us. And secondly, 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to us, so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work." We only have to ask in faith, and our prayer as a righteous person will be powerful and effective. Amen.
Let's just take a moment to reflect and to hear what God's saying to us. Maybe there are things that Helen said that you felt, "This is the Lord speaking to me." What will you take away today? Maybe there's something you can do, something you can choose as a result of what you've heard. Come, Holy Spirit, guide and lead your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.